of you. Thank you so much for being here. We welcome each of you. This is the City of South Jordan City Council meeting today. That sounds so loud.
Is it your feedback?
I don't know. It's not. I don't usually hear myself that loud. That sounds really loud. I don't know. Somebody know. There we go. That's probably better. Sorry about that. We welcome all of you, and we thank you for being here tonight. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan. With our outstanding city council seated up here with us and our city administration, our staff, we appreciate you. We welcome all of you who are here with us and any who may watch this later. We are going to open tonight with an invocation by our assistant city manager, Dawn Tingey.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here in this city council meeting tonight and blessed that thy spirit might be with us. We're thankful for this great community that we live in and bless that those that serve it, that they might be watched over and protected. Bless that we'll have a good meeting and say these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We now have the Pledge of Allegiance, which will be led by our Assistant City Manager, Jason Rasmussen.
Will the audience please arise? Please repeat the pledge after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated.
Okay, we have a lot of presentations on tonight's agenda and a lot of public hearings, and in the interest of making sure that we can get to those, I'm going to ask for a motion to amend the agenda to move things like the, item D, our minute approval, and our item E, our mayor and council reports, to the end of the meeting so we can get to everything else sooner. Can I get a motion?
So moved, Mayor.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion to that? All in favor of amending the agenda and move item D and E to the end of the agenda for the sake of time getting to the business we have at hand, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, we are going to jump right in then with item F. We have our public comment period. This is the time when we would like to hear from you, and we're going to turn to anyone here in person that would like to speak. We would give everyone 3 minutes each. We ask that you give us your name and address for the public record. And as always, we make a commitment to you that we're very proud of the civil discourse, the civil dialogue that we have here in South Jordan, and we commit to being respectful to you, and we ask the same in return because we're all here because we care about this city. So with that, I'll turn, if there's anyone here in person that would like to speak during the public comment period, you're welcome to come on up to the mic and everyone gets 3 minutes.
Hello, my name is Paola Gutierrez. I'm sure you know me by now. I am the eldest sister of Marcelo Gutierrez, who suffered from schizophrenia and was killed by South Jordan police on June 15, 2024. As you know, June 15th was on Sunday. And it marked the year that it's been a year since my brother passed away. It's been a year that we don't know anything. We don't know what happened. We just know he's dead. By gunshots from the South Jordan police, and the police knew he had schizophrenia. On Sunday was Father's Day, and I'm sure you were celebrating Father's Day, as you would, rightfully so, for those that are fathers. I was consoling my father. I was consoling my family, because it had been a year. And in this time, I've been reading about similar stories about deaths of other individuals. One happened a few months ago, April 15, 2025. An autistic, nonverbal teenage boy was shot repeatedly by Idaho police. Victor Perez was only 17. He had cerebral palsy. When the police were responded to a call of an intoxicated man, what they thought was an intoxicated man, It was Victor Perez, who suffered from cerebral palsy and staggered and stumbled due to his disabilities. The police arrived. They ordered him to drop the knife. He didn't drop it. The shots were fired. The mayor of Pocatello, Brian Blad, said in a statement, "We recognize the pain and grief this incident has caused in our community." Blad also said, "The city was addressing this matter with the seriousness and thoroughness it deserves with the appropriate respect for gravity of the situation." The gravity was that one, somebody in their community had passed away. The mayor spoke up and said something. They used their voice. In Anchorage, a 16-year-old girl was shot by police on August 13, 2024, Easter Sally Leafa. Police were called to the home. She stood up. She was holding a kitchen knife at her side. She walked three steps forwards, and the police shouted at her to drop the knife, and then she was shot. And this was a family statement. The family statement praised Anchorage Mayor Suzanne LaFrance and police chief, the police chief, Sean Case, for meeting with the family in the days after the incident and for looking deeply at not only this tragic event, but also by examining in general police policies and on training practices, okay? They recommended changes to the way the department operates, ranging from 911, the way 911 calls are dispatched, okay? The mayor stood up. The mayor has a voice. You all have a voice as council members. You chose to be in this position to serve the community. We don't want this to happen to anybody else. This is a daily living nightmare. And it's over a year and we still don't know anything. But I will keep speaking for my brother because he can't. And the question is, what will you do with your voice? Thank you.
Thank you, Paola. Is there anybody else here that would like to speak?
Good evening. My name is Veronica Gutierrez. My badge is 09946. I've been serving the people of Utah for about 6 years now, transporting people throughout the valley. I stand before you wearing the same clothing I had on the day that my brother was murdered. I know that you, council, and the South Jordan Police Department also serve the people. For some time now, I've been trying to keep hope that you, council, being, as your slogan says, creating a safe community, and the South Jordan Police Department's values, character, competence, trust, and transparency that you've all been upholding day by day. I won't lie, as time goes on, the hours, the days, and the months, it's wavered tremendously by the actions that you and the South Jordan Police Department have chosen. Ask yourselves, the way my family has been treated by all of you, have you been providing the best that you can for what has happened to my brother in this community? Excuse me. Has the South Jordan City Council been providing a safe community? Has the police department been transparent to what has happened to my brother? Have all of you been going to bed at the end of your day telling yourself that how you've been treating my family is the best that you can since the murder of my brother? I've been watching, listening, and seeing how you've all been treating my family, from us hearing nothing to my family trying to contact you. From what have you done? Excuse me. From what have you done to your website and the changes you made to make it harder for us to understand why? I fear for my friends and my relatives that live in this community and how they will be treated in the forthcoming future from all of you. And I'm not the only one. My friends and my relatives, we've all seen how you've been treating my brother's death. Now, I know the job is hard. It is not a simple job where turning a blind eye and avoiding the subject works. There will be hard times, and there will be confrontations that are going to exist. If you think that is too much of you, please resign. Let someone else take the position who knows that they can face these challenges and tasks that these careers and positions have. It's been a year. It's been a year since I've heard my mentally ill brother's voice, him calling me out of nowhere and telling me that my big brother's there for me. That if I need anything, I can call him and he'll listen. I'm afraid that one day I'm gonna forget what his voice sounds like. Sorry, please don't be the type of people that won't do anything until it happens to you personally. Especially if your loved ones that you know and care, that you know and care struggle with mental health. I ask you all tonight to act how you think you do with your values and your slogan beliefs and not how you are now. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica. Is there anybody else that would like to speak?
I would.
I don't know where that's coming from. Public comment is here in person. Is there someone here in person?
Hello, my name is Allison Freeman, and I am in 11302 South of Palace View Drive in South Jordan. And I'm coming here with support for my friend Paula and her family. I'm also here because we've had family experiences with mental illness and how it scares people. And I don't feel afraid of people with mental illness. I'm very comfortable with them, but I understand that there can be issues and they can make people very uncomfortable at times. I wanted to speak out about my feelings about making sure that we as a community accept and show our support, not just for the person with mental illness, and there's all different levels. And I think you guys all know that or probably are involved with people in your lives. And I think that's where you can make it very personal. You can see yourself with somebody you truly love and thinking about the dignity and the honor that they deserve, despite their handicap. And I feel like it truly is a handicap. It inhibits people. But I also feel like we can't let it inhibit us. And as a community, I wanted to talk about a really great opportunity to reach out and show support. And I realize and I expect or wonder if what legal rights or what has to be bound up because of legalities. But I ask for charity too. I ask to remember families. I ask to think about Marcella's mother and how she feels with a son that's gone with no answers. I think that's some of the torture that we put and that we can ignore and walk away. But I kind of feel like this is an opportunity for us not to ignore and just answers. We're not perfect and we all make mistakes, but we need to be supportive to those who struggle. And I know of great examples here in South Jordan of great police work that has been so helpful in the community and has brought outreach and keeping people comfortable. But right now we have a community that isn't comfortable and is fearful because they don't have answers. And they don't have, I think silence leaves too much to the imagination. And silence sometimes gives us a feeling of lack of support or something's being hidden. And I think it's time to address that. Whether there was wrongs or it was perfectly done to book, I feel like that needs to be open and that this family deserves some answers or at least somebody to talk to that can help them get the answers they need. And I, as a community member, would hope that if my family, if I lost a son, that I would have answers. I can't imagine a group of people with information that they could share to help and not giving it to me. I want you to know that I support all of you and I support Paula and her family. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Allison. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak?
Hello. You probably all know me, but I'll give my name and address anyway, Laurel Bevins. For now, we're 3164 West Bison Ridge Road. This is my last meeting before we move, so I wasn't going to cry, sorry. I just would be remiss if I didn't get up and thank all of you. When I emailed Jason, what was it, like 8 years ago, and said, we just moved here, I've got young kids, where can you use me? And I ended up on Arts Council, and he suggested I talk to Chief Carr for the Police Community Advisory Board. I could not have imagined where it would lead me all these years later, and I am so grateful to each of you and for your mentorship and your friendship and for my time with Chief Carr on his board and to the fire department who took the time to explain a lot of things to a community that was scared after a tragedy. So I just want to thank you each for all of your mentorship, your friendship, and for all you do for this community. I'm very grateful for you and for your examples in my life. And thank you for the opportunity to serve here. And hopefully we continue to cross paths in my professional life, even though we won't be in the city or the state. But please know I am so grateful for each of you and know that you all work really hard for the city and have the right intentions. And I'm just grateful. So thank you.
Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak?
Hello, Rami Lemisiel, 3060 West Roxborough Park Street, West Valley City, Utah, 4119. I wasn't going to speak, but I just wanted to make sure it was known. I mean, because the last meeting that we came to, that I came to, you know, we expressed our frustrations and everything. And then y'all made a statement like, oh, it's out of our hands and everything. So I just wanted to, you know, clarify that we're just here to remind you of your sins. We're not here to, I don't know, we're here to just make it known that, like, we... how we felt when we were ignored, or how we, you know, when we felt ignored. As my sister listed out some other tragic events that happened in the US, and, you know, the mayors acknowledged what happened publicly, or they reached out to the family, and, you know, it's kind of disappointing that, like, something like that didn't happen for us. You know, like, all we wanted was to talk to someone. You know, we, my brother reached out. Yeah, just it's been really hard for us, you know, and we understand that this is in the DA's office, this case and everything, and we won't get the answers until they sort through whatever they're doing. But the blood is in the hands of South Jordan City Police, and that's why we're here. And that's why we keep showing up. I do okay if I pretend it didn't happen. I've been waiting patiently, and I've prayed to continue being patient, because I am mad as hell with the manner that my brother was taken. I'll never forget seeing
how the bullets tore his flesh. Or the bruises on his body. And we won't forget. Like I said, though, and as I said before, last time I spoke here, I've prayed to God to help me with forgiveness, but I need to know what happened first. That's all I have to say. Thank you for the opportunity to let us speak during this time. I hope someone at least reaches out to my family, because it's been over a year now. If you represent the community, do it right.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak? I think we had someone.
Hello, my name is Maya Gutierrez. I'm Marcella's older sister, 2329 West Sierra Rose Drive. Taylorsville, Utah, 41129. I haven't spoken in a while, but I wanted to come speak today about to support my family, but to also share, you know, I would have thought with my brothers 1 year I would be devastated, and I still am, but I'm kind of just empty, because I want to know what happened to him. I remember my brother when he was first diagnosed, and I barely returned to the University of Utah after serving my mission. I worked 2 jobs. My brother wasn't easy. We would have to go look for him at midnight, at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd go to work, I'd go to school, I'd go clean a daycare in South Jordan. Then I would go home and my dad would call at my work. And my dad would call me and be like, Marcel's missing. And I'd go at 2 until 2 in the morning going looking for my brother. It wasn't easy, but I loved him. He struggled and we all tried our best to help him. And the week that we weren't with him, this happened. A couple months ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, there was an incident in my neighborhood. The highway patrol chased a guy that lived in our neighborhood. They ended up coming into the neighborhood with the SWAT team, with everybody. The guy shot bullets, didn't hit anyone. And then he was trying to escape. He got into the car somehow, and there was a lot of police. My sister and I witnessed it. Any opportunity, the cops could have shot the guy. He had a gun, then he got a car and tried to run and went over the police, and then nobody did anything. They hit the car and they later apprehended him. And when I think of that, and I think of my brother, it's like, this guy had a gun, had a car. What about my brother, who's 550 pounds, couldn't walk very well, couldn't run. And the only option was to shoot him multiple times. I saw this firsthand in my neighborhood, and I think, could have they done handled it better? What are the protocols with mental health? Do you just shoot after you try to hit him with a bullet, with a beanbag? I don't know. But my brother didn't deserve that. And every time I go to his site, I don't know if my family shared, but somebody removed our memorial items, a cross. This is a Christian state. Why would they take a cross off of where he was shot down? And it hurts. So I ask of you, council, to take our words, to reach out, to talk to us. We just want answers. We want to heal. And I want to continue to speak for my brother. I miss him. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak?
Hey, Don, this is Brian. Can you tell me where online on your policy it says you have to be in person?
Because it is right on our council agenda. It says it. So I'm going to go ahead and turn to right here in person.
Hello, my name is Jill Ewell. I live in Daybreak. My address is 10769 South Felicity Court. We had an incident the beginning of this year with my mentally ill son. He's in a situation where I'm his legal guardian along with his father and two of his older siblings. And I'll tell you that mental health issues are very complicated and can be very painful, and families can feel so helpless. The situation, though, turned out much better than Marcelo's did. My son also had a falling apart moment and feeling that there was no hope for him with all the different psychiatric stays. He's tried to find a place where he could be safe. There was no place that could keep him. So he had decided that either he will die, get shot by a police officer, or somehow they'll figure out how to put him in a hospital, or he'll go to jail. And so at the beginning of this year, he went and robbed a gas station and had a knife, and with no intent, of course, to hurt anybody. My son also has never stolen anything. If he wanted money, he could have got out of my purse. We never had that issue. But he felt like this was his last hope. He needed some help. We were fortunate in that my son had police officers that were wise. My son Jackson, I had already called the police officers in our area, know his name, know his condition, so they're familiar with him. We're fortunate in that when they asked him to drop the knife, he did, of course, but he said, I don't care if you shoot me, please just shoot me, I want to die anyway. The police officers were very smart, and they took very good care of our son. But the story could have been so much worse. Jackson also has a lot of support, and when he went to court, the prosecutors and the judge all made note that he was very fortunate that he had a really good support system. And they made note of all the people that were around that did not. And with the support system my son has, we as a family have often felt hopeless and helpless because we don't know what to do for our loved ones. So he got better, he got him on some better medications, and he's doing very well. And I'm really grateful for the detective who listened to my husband, who went to the scene of the crime, and the detective and the police officers noticed right off the bat that this was a special needs person, and they took good care. I think we have an excellent police force here, and I'm grateful for what they did. And I don't know what happened with Marcella's family. And I hope that there could be some advocacy for them, some sort of help so they can get the answers that they need. We were able to do what we needed to for my son. And I hope that somehow they can find out what they need to do and what they can do for their needs. And I'm sure that there's got to be something that can be done. Anyway, that's all I have to say, but thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to point out, the voice online didn't identify, but I'm guessing it's Brian. Is it your brother, Brian? I just wanted to note that it's always on our agenda that under public comment, you must attend city council meeting in person to speak in the meeting in public comment. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak? Okay. All right, thank you. Seeing none, we will close the public comment. And as this, you know, I always say this isn't a time when we really dialogue and come up with solutions to all of the challenges. We want to hear from you and then work on them together. But I want to take a moment of personal privilege and just make sure the Gutierrez family knows. I know this isn't what anybody wants to hear. We as a council don't know any more than you do. And I know that's not what you want to hear, but we don't. We join you in hoping that the district attorney comes out with their information, with their findings. We haven't seen anything. We haven't heard anything. We don't have any more information than you have. And I'm sorry that it's been a year, a terrible year. I can't imagine how painful this year has been for you. Our policy and our practice here in South Jordan is for the elected body to stay completely out of any police investigation, regardless of what it's about. We don't want to compromise anything by inserting ourselves, so we've stayed out of it. And we're also waiting for a year.
What you're saying is fucking stupid.
I'm sorry that this is so hard.
Fuck you guys! Fuck you, South Jersey City Council! God, I'll see you again!
We hope there's information soon. We are also at the mercy of the district attorney's office waiting. So with that, we're going to move on to a presentation item that we have. We have Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District here with us. We're gonna turn to the general manager, Alan Packard. He's gonna be here to speak to us, representing Jordan Valley.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to report on a proposed property tax increase of Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District. Jordan Valley Water provides drinking water supplies to most of the communities in Salt Lake Valley, including South Jordan City. South Jordan City happens to get 100% of its drinking water supplies from Jordan Valley Water. And Jordan Valley gets its revenue from multiple sources, most of which is from our sale of water. And then we also get about 30% of our revenue from property taxes. And property taxes offer an important component of revenue stability for Jordan Valley. And it also helps cover the costs of a variety of benefits that are not easily measured by water consumption. So from Jordan Valley's perspective, the service we provide is both a commodity that is measured by a meter, and then the non-commodity service or public good. Those are things like environmental enhancements that the public at large benefits from no matter how much water they consume, fire protection, storage in reservoirs that supports fire hydrants, water quality protection in the watershed, conservation programs that benefit Great Salt Lake, and increasing value to those lands that will have access in the future to reliable water service. Through the budget preparation process, Jordan Valley identified a gap between our projected revenues and what we would need to provide our level of service. And we're filling that gap with a combination of property tax increase and water rate increase. Each one of those components is generating about the same amount of revenue. Our our truth and taxation public hearing is scheduled for August 11th at 6 p.m. and citizens will be able to attend, ask questions, and make comments. The proposed property tax increase is approximately an 11% increase in our rate. And that increase, as applied to an average residential home with an average value, would result in an annual increase of about $11.78 per home.
And what value are you using?
That's $630,000 market value. That's the average value in Jordan Valley service area. There are a number of important capital improvements that Jordan Valley is making over the next several years, including expanding our treatment plant in Harriman, new storage reservoirs, a new section of Southwest Aqueduct. And I'll comment that the treatment plant was last expanded in 1986. So it's taken about 40 years for that last expansion to fully, our population to grow into the need for that last expansion. And that's typical of a lot of water infrastructure. It's not practical to put a 24-inch pipe down the road and then 10 years later another 24 and 10 years later another. Rather, we put in massive pipe diameters and treatment plant expansion that will support the growth for many years into the future. And the property tax is an effective way to spread those costs over both the current but also future users. And that's done because we do collect property taxes from undeveloped vacant property. So we're getting some revenue from users, from future users in that way. And then the other way which property tax helps spread the costs out is it helps us achieve a very strong bond rating so that we use debt financing to pay for these large infrastructure improvements. And we spread the costs out of that financing over 30 years. So residents and business owners 25 and 30 years from now will be paying a portion of their water rate to repay that debt that we're taking on now. I think I have summarized our proposed increase. So it's 11% increase, and it will generate $3.1 million of new revenue associated with that property tax increase. With that summary, I'm happy to address questions the council may have.
Do you have a number for what the average business will be?
Yes.
What their rate increase will be?
Yes, because the business doesn't have the residential exemption. If the business property happened to be valued at that same $630,000, their increase would be $21.42 annually, as opposed to the residential, which was $11.78.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anyone have any other questions for Mr. Packard? Go ahead.
So our council packet included your budget for the year. I assume you sent that.
Yes.
And it's kind of my habit to go through budgets a little bit, and I have a number of questions.
Okay. Let me pull that up right in front of me so I can answer it.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I was reading here on page one of your budget, property tax rate and tax revenue, which is a little different than what you sent or with this summary. It's a little different from that, but not dramatically different. Anyway, it indicates that the state allows you to levy a property tax at that rate. I don't even know how to say that. 4 mils, maybe? Maybe mm-hmm. that's the right way
yes.
to say it.
Yeah.
And it says for operation and maintenance expenses. So it doesn't, it's not directly related to your capital improvements. Is that correct?
That is correct and not directly related. However, the reason it goes to, technically it goes to our operation and maintenance expenses is when Jordan Valley does debt financing, one of the requirements from the those who buy our bonds is that the property tax revenue is pledged to our operation and maintenance expenses. They do that because they want to make sure that Jordan Valley remains a viable enterprise, and that's where they want the money to go first. But it has the same effect if it offsets funds that we would normally go to O&M, and then we can divert those elsewhere. It still has the same effect of supporting our overall financial strength.
Yeah. Okay. So I do have a few questions. First is, when was your last tax increase? Because you didn't increase last year, I see, according to your budget.
The year before last, we did.
So 23, 24.
Yeah. And over the next 10 years, our financial plan forecasts that will raise property taxes 3 times over the next 10 years. Now, that's just a forecast, and we revisit that assumption every year when we go through the budget process.
Right.
But that's our forecast.
Okay. Are all of your employees covered in operation and maintenance?
Yes.
So all employees fall under operation.
Yes.
Maintenance. Yes. How many employees do you have?
About 165.
165. Mm-hmm. And in 24-25, this is on page 2 of your budget that I'm looking, you authorized 3 additional employees there, and this year you're doing another 3.
That's right? Correct.
Okay. And it looks like everybody got a 5% raise in 24-25.
Correct.
And again this year.
Yes, that was the budget includes an average 5% raise. Yes.
Okay. Well, I wish we could automatically increase our property tax at a certain rate. I guess we could if we chose to, but.
We could. The water district strategy has been similar to some of the other communities that we see, incremental, small, over the course of time, instead of notable after long periods of time.
Although I have to say 11% doesn't seem all that incremental to me. Seems like a pretty significant increase. And then on page 3 of your budget, your total tax revenue you're projecting is 3.9 million higher than what you got, or than the prior budget year. And so I assume that that difference between the amount of that the tax increase is getting and this number, that's growth. That's
correct.
New homes.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And I did a little calculation of my own, and off from page 1, your water delivery in 24-25 was 95.5 acre feet. And in 25-26 is 98.6 acre feet. And that's a 3.24% increase if I did my math right.
Yes.
I think I did it right.
Yeah.
But back to page 3, you're increasing your operation and maintenance budget by 7%.
Right. There was a couple of key drivers in a more than that 3% increase in our operation and maintenance. One was chemical costs for our treatment plant have gone up much higher than inflation. Another cost driver is a much higher than background inflation rate increase from Rocky Mountain Power. We're fairly energy intensive in a lot of our operations, so
sure.
So that those two contributed to that.
Huh. Why did the chemical costs increase so much? Are they
they're
hard to get or
volatile, and we go out each year and get competitive quotes, and the market changes from year to year.
Yeah. I would have thought that, you know, legislature took fluoride out of the water, that would help reduce chemical costs.
Yeah,
it did. And we applied the $60,000 savings to the reduction of a tax increase.
$600,000.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Oh, that was $60,000.
That was a big deal.
Yeah,
$600,000.
Yeah.
That's a significant savings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I just noticed those things and they raised questions in my mind. I also noted that last year you increased your water rate 6%. This year, 4.9%. Seems higher than like inflation, you know?
Yeah, one of the reasons for that that I mentioned in my initial comments is we have kind of a surge in capital project spending. So over the next 5 years,
on the water rates are helping with the capital.
Yes, yes, okay. Yeah.
So it's not just operation and maintenance, of course.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, sorry for giving you grief about your budget.
No, but thank you for the questions.
But I am grateful that we have a really good water supply and that our fire hydrants work. Really grateful for that. So.
And Jordan Valley is grateful for our partnership with South Jordan City.
Thank you. Just by way of note, the discussion was had about potentially eliminating some of the capital projects that need to take place to, you know, to save some money. But over the next 5 years, there's quite a bit of water infrastructure that needs to go in our community. And it ended up being a good thing for us that capital projects weren't cut. Anybody have any other? Thank you for that. Anybody have any other questions, comments? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item H1, we have resolution R2025-26, authorizing the City of South Jordan Mayor to sign a franchise agreement with Rocky Mountain Power. We are going to turn to our Assistant City Manager, Don Tingey, and I also see that we have folks here from Rocky Mountain Power.
Yes, Brett Johansson with Rocky Mountain Power, our community representative, is here with us tonight. And we've been working over the last couple of months to bring you this resolution for the mayor to sign a renewal of their franchise agreement. They have a 15-year franchise agreement, and it renews this year. And the terms of the agreement are, there's only minor changes that are made to it, nothing substantial changed, some address changes. There was a few procedural things that we went through just to make sure that they weren't changing procedurally with our staff and our working day to day with Rocky Mountain Power. And so it's short of a few clerical or housekeeping items. It's just a renewal of the existing franchise agreement with Rocky Mountain Power.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Tingey? Or Mr. Johansson, I'll even open it up in case you have a
question. I wonder why they raised the power rates so much for Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District. Just kidding. That's a different conversation, I'm sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, then I will ask the council if there's a motion on resolution R-2025-26, authorizing the city of South Jordan mayor to sign a franchise agreement with Rocky Mountain Power.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve resolution R-2025-26.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, will you please have the council on a roll call vote? Thank you.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
And Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Okay, that is approved. Great, thank you. Appreciate our partnership and our good relationship with Rocky Mountain Power.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. All right, item H2, we have resolution R-2025-28, declaring the city's intention to reimburse itself for expenditures incurred in connection with financing all or a portion of the cost of improvements to the city's water system with proceeds of bonds that it intends to issue and related matters. We will turn to our CFO, Mr. Sunil Naidu, for this.
Thank you, Mayor. For my extra support, I brought Ms. Laura Lewis with me, so if you have any questions, she will be happy to answer. The resolution before you, Mayor, is the city's intent to reimburse itself on some of the construction costs related to the water tank project. As you are aware, the water tank the city is planning on building is on the west side, and part of that project requires a transmission line to be built crossing U11. The timing of the UDOT construction of redoing realignment of U11, we're not sure. And so to save the city some cost, we wanted to go ahead and put the transmission line ahead of UDOT going and working on U11. So if we do that and we issue a bond, then by council approving this resolution, we will be able to reimburse ourselves from bond proceeds. So that is the intent. It does not bind us to do any projects or approve any projects or anything. It's just an intent. If that happens, we are able to reimburse using bond proceeds. And it is my recommendation that we do approve this, that the council approve this intent resolution, so that when that happens, we are able to reimburse ourselves.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions, Sunil? Or for Laura? Thanks for being here, Laura.
Sunil, so the construction we're paying for out of general fund, or?
Would be out of the water fund. We will be upfronting the cost out of the water fund. And then when we issue the water bond, it will reimburse.
Reimburse back to the water fund?
Yes.
Okay. That's my only question.
Okay. Anyone else?
And that's pretty standard, isn't it?
Yes.
For this kind of project.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I will ask the council if there is a motion on resolution R-2025-28 declaring the city's intention to reimburse itself for expenditures incurred in connection with financing all or a portion of the cost of improvements to the city's water system with proceeds of bonds that it intends to issue and related matters. Is there a motion on that?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve resolution R-2025-28 as you have stated.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
Second.
The second by Mrs. Johnson. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, will you please?
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Thank you. That motion passes. Laura, thanks for coming clear out. We appreciate you being here. And thanks for sending Fred out earlier. We were glad to have him here too. All right, item H3, we have resolution R-2025-29, designating the interim emergency successors for 2025-26 and identification of alerting authority and individuals authorized to send alerts. We're going to turn to our city manager, Mr. Dustin Lewis, for this.
Mayor and Council, as you know, each year at this time, we're required by the state statute that we identify those emergency interim successors. So we update that list and bring it back to you for your approval. The list has been updated to reflect our most recent changes. This is something we're pretty familiar with. We do a lot. In fact, you see two of those people filling in for those department heads tonight with Deputy Chief Lessner and Associate Director Vasky filling in tonight. So something we do a lot. This also identifies who can activate our emergency alerting systems if we ever needed to do that and what that process is. So this would bring us compliant with the state statute, and I recommend that we adopt this so that we can send copies where it needs to go and keep us eligible for state and federal grants.
Fairly self-explanatory. We do this every year. Does anybody have any additional questions? Okay, seeing none, I will ask if there's a motion on R-2025-29 designating the interim emergency successors for 2025-26 and identification of alerting authority and individuals authorized to send alerts. Is there a motion on that resolution?
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve resolution R-2025-29.
Thank you. I have a motion by Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, will you please lead a roll call vote?
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
And Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Okay, that is approved. Thank you. We'll move on to item H4, resolution R-2025-32, appointing members to the Arts Council. We're going to turn to Associate Director of Recreation, Brad Vasky, for this.
Thank you, Mayor. The council is willing to appoint Zainab Karaparduk as a member of the Arts Council. She is a passionate individual in the community for the arts programs.
Okay, we met with her 2 weeks ago, had the chance to visit with her, have a good visit with her, like we do any appointee to any of our boards. And anybody have any additional questions about that?
No, very talented.
All right. Thank you. Seeing none, I will ask if there's a motion on resolution R-2025-32, appointing members to the Arts Council.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve resolution R-2025-32.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, I'm going to turn and have you lead a roll call vote.
Councilmember McGuire.
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson.
Yes.
Councilmember Harris.
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton.
Yes.
Okay. Please pass along our congratulations to her. Hold on just a moment. Okay. All right. Item H5, we have resolution R-2025-33, appointing members to the Senior Advisory Committee. Also, Mr. Vasky here for this.
Thank you. Yes, we would like to recommend Ms. Kay Wadley to the Senior Advisory Committee. She had the privilege to meet with the City Council back on June 3rd as well.
We also had a good visit with her. Zainab will be one of my appointments to the Arts Council, and Kay is being proposed as one of Mrs. Zander's appointments to the Senior Advisory Committee. Anybody have any? Okay.
No, she seemed great.
All right. Seeing none, I'll ask if there's a motion on resolution R-2025-33.
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve resolution R-2025-33.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Any additional discussion? Okay, will you please?
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Okay. Please also congratulate her for us. I am going to make a request. When we have somebody who rolls off of the Arts Council or the Senior Committee that's one of our appointments, we don't know about it. We don't find out about it. So we get surprised when someone applies and we find out you have two vacancies. Where did my people go? When did they roll off the committee? We aren't aware of that. We don't know that. I'd like to be able to send a thank you note, say thank you to the people who have served that we appointed, to at least have that information. So I'm going to ask you to pass along that when somebody rolls off or steps down or whatever their story is, from the Arts Council or the Senior Advisory Committee, we would like to know so that we can not be surprised that we have vacancies that we had no idea we had because we didn't know our people weren't serving in those capacities anymore. That would be helpful. Thank you. Okay, now we have some public hearing items. Item I-1 is Resolution R-2025-22, amending the fiscal year 2024-25 budget for South Jordan City. The appropriation authority shall apply to the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2025. We are going to turn back to our CFO, Mr. Sunil Naidu, for this, potentially. Stand by, just one brief moment. We're keeping him hopping, we know.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. I'm assuming you're talking about the final amended budget.
Yes, I won the fiscal year 24-25 budget.
And so you know, I talked to Mr. Shelton, and he's happy with it. And
well, that said, I'll go ahead and make the motion
okay,
now.
Good, yeah.
But I wouldn't assume he doesn't have more questions.
I actually do have
which
one.
We will get to for the public hearing. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to just briefly address what we're doing here, Mayor and Council. At the end of every year, we need to relook at the budget, our projections, our revenues coming in, expenditures, and so forth. And per state statute, you know, we cannot overspend what the council has initially budgeted. So anything above and beyond, if we were to spend, then the council has to amend the budget and put it in the budget, and then we can spend it. So as I was looking at the budget, as the revenue is coming in, the sales tax, property tax will be coming in a little bit under what I had initially projected in the initial budget to start with. But as I reviewed the expenditure side of things on both operations and employee-related expenditures, including the additional interest revenue that we will be receiving, I have received because of the higher interest rates, I feel like the budget that the city council has adopted initially will be sufficient to finish out this year, and we will not be into a audit finding where we have spent more than we have received or more than what the council have approved. Therefore, a few changes showing up in this amended budget, specifically dealing with new monies that we have received, whether it be grant related or mostly public safety related that we have received that we incorporated into the budget because they have spent that money. So that is all the changes happening in this budget to wrap up the year. And I'll be happy to answer any question, Mayor, after the public hearing.
Thank you, appreciate that so much. Okay, I'm now gonna open the public hearing on item I-1, Resolution R-2025-22, amending the fiscal year 24-25 budget for South Jordan City. The appropriation authority shall apply to the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2025. Same with our public comment period. If you're here and would like to speak, we ask you to come to the microphone, give us your name and address for the public record, and everyone gets 3 minutes to speak directly about this specific item. If you're here about this, we invite you to come up now and speak. Okay, seeing none, we will go online. So it was asked earlier, yes, it has been our longstanding policy that public comment is for those attending here in person. For a public hearing, we will let somebody online speak to this specific item. If you'd like to speak to this, please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. Seeing none, we will close the public hearing and turn to the council and see We'll invite Mr. Naidoo back up because it sounds like Mr. Shelton has questions and there may be more.
Just one question.
That's great.
So I was intrigued by the police dog. Was that actually money that was contributed and then we bought a dog, or was a dog gifted to the city and we accounted for the value of it somehow, or?
My understanding was that it was a donation to go to the canine program.
Yep.
And so,
somebody made a donation
specifically to be used for the canine program in our city. So
yes, it's
did we acquire another dog?
We did not acquire a dog, but they got additional training that we otherwise wouldn't have been able to do. Yeah.
That's my question.
That's good. Anyone else? Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, I will ask if there is a motion on resolution R2025-22, amending the fiscal year 24-25 budget for South Jordan City. The appropriation authority shall apply to the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2025. Is there a motion?
Mayor, I move that we approve resolution R2025-22, the amending of the budget for fiscal year 2024 to 2025.
Thank you. Motion by Mrs. Johnson. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. A second by Mr. Shelton. Any additional discussion to this? Okay, seeing none, will you please, Mrs. Crookston?
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Okay, that is approved. Thank you. Thank you so much. Item I-2, Ordinance 2025-02, vacating small portions of right-of-way in the Daybreak Town Center along Granville Avenue and Black Twig Drive and Betts Way. We're going to turn to our Director of Planning and Economic Development, Brian Priest, for this. And I don't think we have anyone from Daybreak here to speak to this, right? I don't see anyone. Okay, please.
Okay, yet again another right-of-way dedication. This one, let's see, as you said, between is Black Twig and Betts Way, just some rearranging of streets and reordering. It doesn't increase the density any. They're just fine-tuning how they're going to develop that area, and they appreciate us vacating these portions, and the property will go back to the Daybreak folks.
Thank you. Mostly just a little cleanup. Just a very just tiny right-of-way.
A little tiny cleanup.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right. I'm now going to open the public hearing on Ordinance 2025-02, vacating small portions of right-of-way in the Daybreak Town Center along Granville Avenue, Black Twig Drive, and Betts Way. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak directly to this? Okay. Seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak directly to this item? If so, please turn on your camera. Let us know. Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing and turn to the council and see if you have any questions, comments. Okay. This is pretty standard, these little teeny cleanup pieces we do sometimes. Okay, with that, I'll ask if there is a motion on Ordinance 2025-02, vacating small portions of right-of-way in the Daybreak Town Center along Granville Avenue, Black Twig Drive, and Betts Way.
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve Ordinance 2025-02.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Any additional discussion to this?
No, it's pretty clear.
Okay. Seeing none, we'll ask Mrs. Crookston if she'll lead the council in a roll call vote.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Okay. That is approved. Thank you. All right. Item I-3, we have Ordinance 2025-09, amending Section 16.50.100, allowed prohibited and restricted uses of the South Jordan City Municipal Code to modify the uses within drinking water protection zones. We're going to turn to our long-range planner, Joe Moss, for this.
Thank you.
Yes, so tonight we have a proposal from Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District, who is our applicant, requesting a text amendment to our current drinking water source protection ordinance. Right now, it divides up our drinking water source areas into four different zones, 1, 2, 3, and 4, based on how sensitive they are and how close a potential contaminant could get to a wellhead. This is a map of those areas in the city that are covered by those drinking water source protection zones. So the blue is obviously zone 4, and they kind of zero into 1 at the center. Jordan Valley, as mentioned earlier, does provide all of our drinking water. They also provide to a number of other municipalities in the Salt Lake Valley. So we evaluated ours against Salt Lake County, as well as other similar municipalities with similar ordinances. If we did not have a drinking water source protection ordinance, it would default to Salt Lake County's. So our hope would be to bring ours close into alignment with that for consistency's sake. Currently, the request that we have in front of you is to do a number of things procedurally and organizationally. So I tried to walk you through some of these changes here. Right now, we don't have a allowed category in our table of uses for these areas. It just is either restricted or not allowed. Most comparable ordinances do have an allowed category for less worrisome uses in those zones 3 and 4. So this would just introduce those into this ordinance. If you notice the areas in green, that's where we're bringing our ordinance, or this would bring our ordinance into alignment with Salt Lake County and similar ordinances. The areas in orange would be where we would be less strict than similar ordinances. This proposed amendment would also tighten some restrictions, primarily in zones 2, for those landfill and transfer stations, as well as railroad yards. And then there's some organizational things here. Currently, cemeteries, golf courses, parks, and plant nurseries are all grouped together. This would split them up into their own different categories, which is similar to many other ordinances. We also currently have a conflict with golf courses where it's listed in two different places in our ordinance, and it has different different requirements based off of that in zone 2. So this would clean that up. It also does the same for hospitals, dental, and veterinary uses. It would split those up into their own use categories. That would generally bring us into alignment with most categories. However, dental offices, it would be a less restrictive category than most comparable ordinances. And so you see right here, this is the things in zone 1 in particular that are currently not permitted, that are proposed to be restricted. So these would bring us further away from Salt Lake County and similar ordinances alignments. We have some concerns with the fact that, you know, this was put into place in 2010 under Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District's recommendation. And we, you know, they did that with a number of similar jurisdictions, and those are still out there. Our recommendation is not to approve this particular recommendation because we don't want to be further out of alignment, particularly in zone 1, which is those areas within 100 feet of a wellhead. So I'm happy to answer any questions after the hearing.
We'll come back after the public hearing. Thank you, Mr. Moss. Because we've got representatives from Jordan Valley Water here, and they are the ones requesting this, I'm going to see if anybody from Jordan Valley would like to speak. We always give the person making the request that brings about a public hearing the opportunity to speak after the presentation, so please.
Thank you, Mayor Ramsey. So I just wanted to, I guess, are my comments limited to 3 minutes?
Go ahead and present, but please introduce yourself for the public record.
Yes, so my name is Travis Christensen. I am the engineering group leader at the Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District. I'm here on behalf of Shane Swenson, who recently presented at the May 27th Planning Commission meeting. He was roped into a service trip in South America, and so I'm here on his behalf.
It actually sounds really cool.
I am a little bit jealous. He's in Bolivia, and it sounds like a lot of fun. So A little bit of background. So the district owns several wells along 1300 West and along 2700 West that are collecting groundwater that was contaminated from mining operations and treating them at a water treatment plant that's located behind our facility in West Jordan on 8215 South 13th West. We have a property at 86, approximately Shields Lane and 13th West, where we have a well. And that well produces about 175 gallons per minute. It's about 500 feet deep. And it was drilled in 2011. And we had an individual that lives in South Jordan contacted us about purchasing a portion of the property that we weren't using. The district looked at its needs and determined that we had sufficient property at that well that we could effectively cut the property in half and look to sell a portion of that. As discussions progressed with this individual, we learned that this individual was looking to construct a dental office on this facility, and which is a prohibited use according to Section 16.50.100. And so looking at that ordinance and the prohibited uses, the restricted uses, a restricted use is one that would require Jordan Valley approval, Health Department approval, and then it would, of course, go through the typical process of planning and zoning and building with the city as well, and then allowed uses. And so in looking at that ordinance, we realized that there had been some changes that had occurred in the regulatory space surrounding some of these and some of these uses. And so the district looked at them, and in particular, we looked at dental offices, along with many of the other uses that were on there, and are proposing to make changes to those. So as Joe previously mentioned, you have zone 1, 2, 3, and 4. Zone 1 is within 100 feet of the well. Zone 2, 3, and 4 move to travel time, so it's the amount of time that water or a contaminant that's in the water would take to get to that wellhead. And so Zone 2 is approximately 250 days, Zone 3 is up to 3 years, and Zone 4 is 15 years. The district feels comfortable and confident with the changes that we're making here at this time, and we feel as if we've been very thorough, and we want to be good stewards of the water that we have, and we want to protect the water that we have. And we feel like these changes are in alignment with that. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if that's permissible.
Thank you. After the public hearing, yes, we will come back to the council for questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do it that way because we want the council to be able to hear from the staff, the applicant, the public, anybody who speaks, so they're fully informed. Okay. I'm now going to open the public hearing on Ordinance 2025-09, amending Section 16.50.100, Allowed, Prohibited, and Restricted Uses of the South Jordan City Municipal Code to modify the uses within drinking water protection zones. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak to this item specifically? If so, you're invited to come up to the mic. Take your 3 minutes. Okay, seeing none, I will see if there's anyone online that would like to speak specifically to this item. If so, please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. Thank you. Seeing none. Bob is raising his hand. I barely caught you. Can you turn on your camera for us?
He's muted still.
Yeah. Bob, I'd love to call on you. If you could turn on your camera and then unmute, we'll let you introduce yourself and take your 3 minutes. Hi there.
Does that work?
There we go, yes.
Okay, I'm Bob Paxton, 1073 West, 10250 South. And I guess the question I have is if there's a business that would be disallowed or restricted any kind of business with these new changes, would you make that business move its location, or would they have a grandfather clause to continue their business?
We'll get to council questions after the public hearing. Right now, Bob, we just want to hear from you, and then we'll...
Okay.
And then the council will weigh in. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you, Dr. Paxton. We appreciate you. Okay. Nobody else wants to speak? We will close this public hearing and turn to the council and see what questions you have for our planner, Mr. Moss, or for Mr. Christensen from the Water District. Anyone?
Yeah, Mr. Christensen.
Yes.
Are you planning to go to the rest of the district and update their plans?
We do not have plans to do that currently. Not to say that we're not willing to do that. These requests for changes are quite infrequent. I've been here 10 years, and Shane Swenson, the chief engineer, has been here 25 at Jordan Valley. And this is the first incident that we've had, or request that we've had of this. And so we're definitely willing to go and do it. But at this time, we will not be reaching out to our other member agencies to make a modification.
See, I kind of have a problem where you are just identifying one area and doing this change. I would hope that you would at least reach out through communication. You know, I mean, we have lots of communication available to us, that you at least reach out to all members of your that you serve and let them know of these changes. That, I mean, who knows what businesses or things you're restricting unintentionally with, you know, these changes. And I kind of feel like we're kind of being pushed out here. I mean, I understand the prompting, but I hope you can see that it kind of makes me feel uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and we can definitely take that back internally and review that and look at ways if council makes the decision to move forward.
Because I was here in 2010, mm-hmm. and you guys made a big presentation, and we did follow your advice, and we have stayed true to that. And I kind of think it kind of impedes on your. I can't think of the right word I'm looking for, that I'm searching for, your credibility, when you're just marking one change for one community.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone have any other questions or comments? Go ahead.
So when we make decisions on ordinances or a zoning ordinance, we have to think about the impact across the city, not just the particular property, particularly on ordinances. So if we make a change on an ordinance, what's the impact everywhere, not just a particular property? And when this ordinance comes before us, it seems like it is motivated strictly by what's going on one particular piece of property, and it feels very arbitrary to me. I mean, if you stood there at that podium and said to me, hey, we're making this change with every one of our member organizations, then I could look at the ordinance and feel like that's a lot more credible and a lot more believable. But when it's a ordinance change, in fact, for one property, that's very arbitrary, and does not feel credible to me. So I don't, you know, I understand why our staff is recommending not to approve it, because it really is just for one property. And you know, I think you guys should be doing the same diligence that we do when you consider an ordinance change. It ought to be
How does this ordinance affect all of our area, all of our service area, rather than one particular piece of property?
Sure.
I do have a couple of questions about the well real quick. So the well is generating contaminated water, is that right?
Yes, it is treating mining, or is treating water that has been contaminated by mining operations.
So,
yes.
So the well brings up out of the ground water that is already contaminated.
This well, yes.
And then it goes to your reverse osmosis facility.
Yes.
Or is that right there? I don't know.
Yes, that is correct. It goes to the reverse osmosis treatment facility.
And then it's cleaned at the reverse osmosis facility.
Correct.
So that fact makes me feel a little more comfortable with, the ordinance change for the one piece of property because the water's already contaminated.
But are the other wells similarly contaminated in the same area?
Yes, Councilwoman. Yes. And if I may, so while the reason this came up was because of one specific property, the district would be very comfortable with the ordinance that's applied that we're requesting for South Jordan to be, it would be applicable to all wells within South Jordan City.
I keep wishing you would say, gee, we'll just put it out there to all of our member organizations or all of our service area. And if you say that, I would feel, I'd say, okay, I can believe that, Anyway.
I have a question about Mr. Paxton's question. Would this impact other,
existing businesses.
Existing businesses, yeah. And would they be, I don't actually know the answer to that. Maybe Mr. Moss could tell us if there are existing businesses this would impact, would they be grandfathered in? Would nobody be bothered? I don't know the answer to that.
No, so this is generally applied to new uses that are coming into these areas. So when there's a development application in a water protection zone, if they're one of the uses that are on that list, we either, if they're prohibited or restricted under the current ordinance, if they're restricted, it's taken as a case-by-case basis, reviewed by both the Water Authority and the Salt Lake Valley Health Department. In this circumstance, the only two uses that are tightening their regulations are on landfills and rail yards. In zone two. And I don't think that there's any of those in zone two that would be affected by this proposal.
Okay. In South Jordan.
In South Jordan, correct.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any other questions or comments?
Mayor,
please
just,
go ahead.
Mr. Moss, you made the comment about us being, it would take us further away from like Salt Lake County's standard. And what's our concern there with being just kind of a different page than them?
Yeah, so a lot of the changes that are proposed in zones 3 and 4 would bring us closer into alignment with those, the county and other similar municipalities that way. But there are a number of changes within zone 1, which is the most sensitive, that would take us beyond what all similar ordinances are currently permitting. And that's primarily for the dentist use, as well as parks and private recreation, as well as apiary. In zone 1.
And though what's the concern that someone's going to just come back to us and say, well, Salt Lake County regulations are different than what yours are?
Right, I think we have some concern with being the sort of front leader in the valley with the loosening of water restrictions that way. We want to make sure that we are in step with similar ordinances. Like I said, if we did not have our own drinking water source protection ordinance, it would default to Salt Lake County's. And so we want to kind of align it where as close as possible where it makes sense to.
Yeah, no, that makes sense that we'd want to be as much as in agreement alignment as possible, just because they would be the default if ours was to change.
But we do have our own.
No, we do have our own.
Is there ever a scenario when we're not going to have our own? Yeah.
No, I think the advantage of us having our own is we're able to increase those restrictions as appropriate compared to what the county permits currently. It does allow us to also loosen them as the council sees fit as well.
And has the county been informed or brought in to look at this change? Have they made a comment about it?
We did send this to Salt Lake County for their review, just to make sure that we were not doing one thing without the other. And they indicated that they were comfortable with the amendment.
Oh, they are comfortable.
They were comfortable, and I'm not sure I understood. Yeah. They're comfortable approving the ordinance, or?
With yeah, they did not see an issue with the proposed language.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's kind of what comes down to me. It's like, I don't know if I necessarily really have issues with the ordinance that's being proposed as much as how it's arrived here. Mm-hmm. And that it's not that the water district didn't issue a letter to all the participating jurisdictions and saying, these are our new recommendations. Please update your ordinance. I mean, I don't understand how that relationship or review. Yeah, it's just hard.
So how willing would the water district be to do that? Because from a functional policy standpoint, this body does not legislate on an individual basis like that for something that
we never do.
We don't. That's not good leadership as far as when you're working with local government. That's just not, you know, when we have a whole city to do. However, this might not be that big of a deal. It might have been a bigger deal back in 2010 than it is now, and that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the water district saying it's not as big as a deal as it was 15 years ago. County saying we're okay with it. So how open would the water district be to informing all of the other member agencies that this change has taken place at your request and putting that option out there to the other member agencies? And Bart, if you're, I'm so, Bart, wow, that's been a hot minute. Sorry, Alan, so sorry, wow. Alan.
There's a little history.
I know, I'm like, wow. Anyway, Alan, if you'd like to answer that, please.
Sure. I think Jordan Valley would not be opposed to informing the community of this change if the city decides to approve it. We just don't want to proactively go out and hold a bunch of hands throughout the valley and have it all changed. I recognize that the proposal seems self-serving that we're making, but we began the process months ago, and we want to see it through in good faith. We totally respect whatever the city council decides.
I do have another question. So we have not permitted and restricted. Is there any guidelines that we know where that line falls when you get a project that's now sort of permitted? I mean, and then if it's bought out by somebody else, how do you ensure that what you approved, they continue? Do you understand what I'm saying? If the property changes hands and you have an agreement with the first party, how do you go through to make sure that they're following the restrictions that you've put in place?
From the district standpoint, I don't think we have any additional interaction with that business. So it would be based on time of application. But with all businesses or uses in the zone, we do not have follow up unless property is being redeveloped or something.
You guys are trusting.
So it's really the city.
Yeah.
It's the city that has to enforce the city ordinance. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what it comes down to. Yeah. And sometimes we do a good job of that. Sometimes we don't.
Any other questions or comments for any of these folks? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, I am going to ask if there is a motion. I don't have a vote on this. I have an opinion on it, but I don't have a vote on it. So I'm going to ask If there is a motion on ordinance 2025-09, amending section 16.50.100, allowed, prohibited, and restricted uses of South Jordan City Municipal Code to modify the uses within drinking water protection zones.
Madam Mayor, I'll move to approve ordinance 2025-09, as you have stated, but also request that our friends at Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District notify the other member agencies of the change and request that they make a similar change to their code. Okay. Don't have to hold their hands.
Okay. We have a motion by Mr. Shelton as stated. It's as listed with the added text that we request of the Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District to notify all of the other member agencies that per their request, this application was made and approved, and asking them to consider the same. Is there a second on that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a second by Mrs. Johnson. All right, any other discussion to this? Okay, seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead a roll call vote?
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
No.
And Councilmember McGuire?
No.
This is the first time in almost 8 years as mayor that there has been a tie
this
vote.
Is this really
and
the first
I've
time?
Been given the opportunity to vote. That's never happened.
Oh.
In all the time I've been here. And I vote yes. So that motion passes. Okay. Do we need to send a formal letter requesting that you let the other member agencies know? Or can you take this and let the other member agencies know? Okay, appreciate that. Thank you. All right, we have our last public hearing item here, item I-4, zoning ordinance 2025-04-Z. Rezoning property located at 2511 West, 10950 South in the city of South Jordan from A5 agricultural minimum 5-acre lot zone to R1.8 single family residential 1.8 lot per acre zone. We're gonna turn to Mr. Priest, our Director of Planning and Economic Development. And then we also have Robbie Pope here, who's the applicant from LR Pope Engineering. So we'll turn to Mr. Priest first.
Okay. This parcel has come to us as a request for rezone. It's currently zoned A5. It is non-conforming in that zone in that it's too small for the A5 zone. It's only 0.92 acres. And it currently also does not meet that zone in that the number of buildings, the percent of coverage of the buildings is too high for the A5 zone. There we go. We can see that the property is bounded on two sides by the R1.8 zone and two sides by the A5. Most of the rest of the properties in that zone are also non-conforming as far as the size. If the property were to be rezoned, R1.8 zone allows 40% coverage of the property. And it would bring the property into conformance. We do have a building under construction that was halted when this was noticed, and that's why we've brought together the rezone. Show you some of the other pictures of what's. This is the prop or the building that's under construction. And
which building was under construction? Right.
This one, I don't know how to use that fancy thing, sorry, but it's the one with the plywood that you can see, the brown, tan colored.
It's much more finished than that.
It's right in the middle.
So the aerial view doesn't show it. It's not in that aerial view, is that right?
Yes, it's the one with the box around it.
Oh, okay.
It's not a real huge building. There are some very large buildings on the property.
Oh, kind of a shed almost, huh?
The Planning Commission heard this and they unanimously recommended that the rezone be granted. And I don't know if you have any other questions, we can ask them after the public hearing.
Thank you. All right. I'm now actually going to turn to the applicant. Mr. Pope, if you are here and would like to, is Mr. Pope here? No? Okay. And I will not turn to the applicant. And I'll open the public hearing on zoning ordinance 2025-04-Z, rezoning property located at 2511 West, 10950 South, in the city of South Jordan from A5 agricultural minimum 5-acre lot zone to R1.8 single family residential 1.8 lots per acre zone. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak specifically about this item? If so, you're welcome to come on up. Okay. Seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak specifically to this item? If so, it's not looking like it. Okay. We will close the public hearing and turn to the council. See if you have any questions for Mr. Priest.
One thing I thought of when I was sitting there is this is not in this particular parcel is not in a subdivision. These are meets and bound parcels, so it wouldn't be changing anything for an established subdivision, if that makes any difference.
Thank you. Anyone? Okay.
Thank you.
I will ask if there is a motion on zoning ordinance 2025-04-Z, rezoning property located at 2511 West, 10950 South in the city of South Jordan from A5 agricultural minimum 5-acre lot zone to R1.8 single family residential 1.8 lots per acre zone. Is there a motion on this?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve zoning ordinance 2025-04-Z.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Second by Mr. McGuire. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, will you please? Thank you.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
That is approved. Thank you. Briefly, before we get to staff reports and calendaring items, and then we'll get to our items that were moved from the beginning. I want to take a personal privilege moment and thank Laurel Bevins for all of her service to the city. You've done so much and spent so much time, given so much time to the city in these many volunteer roles. And we will miss you. And we wish you the best. We wish your family the best. And we just thank you for everything you've done here in our city. Thank you. Okay, we'll go to staff reports and calendaring items with turn it to our city manager for that. And then we will do our item D and E. And first of all, as you guys are heading out, thanks for joining us, sticking with us all this time. We appreciate you being here. All right, Mr. Lewis.
I have a couple of things for you tonight. The first, I wanted to remind you of an event that's on your calendar tomorrow morning at 8:00 down at the Riverfront Park. We're going to have a ribbon cutting for our 6 new pickleball courts. I hope that you'll all be able to join us for that, including the staff. I canceled your 8:30 meeting to give you time to attend. So the second item, I wanted to remind you that the play Annie is happening this week. If you haven't had a chance to go see it, I would highly encourage it. I was very surprised on multiple levels. The talent is phenomenal. And there were things I did not expect, and I will leave it at that.
You as well.
And encourage all of you to attend to see what I'm talking about. It's well worth it to go.
The show is very well done.
It's very
Oh, they're talented. Well done. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I was impressed. So, and then I would like to turn some time over to Chief Carr to give our mid-year or end-of-year update as it pertains to our victim advocates and the work that they do. So with that, Chief.
Thank you. We get some state money every year to help offset the cost of having victim advocates. And part of that requirement is that we just present you with these statistics a couple of times a year. You can see, you should have those in front of you. You should see that our between domestic violence and identity theft and fraud, that's about 75% of what they do. In talking with our lead victim advocate today, she indicated that they've been targeting some of our identity theft and fraud victims to try to help them. They're seeing an uptick in some of the scams that are out there, especially among older folks who get texts, emails telling them that their loved ones are in jail or something and they need to go to Walmart and get gift cards and send them now, you know, that type of thing. We even had one where it appears that they were able through AI to generate a loved one's voice. And we know that that's started to happen. And that person actually lost about $800 in a scam. So those are the kinds of things they're dealing with. But mostly the bread and butter, obviously, is domestic violence victims. You can see there they've helped about 165 of those since January 1 to June 12th. So if you have any questions.
Thanks, Chief.
I do, actually. Chief, do you have any sense for how many of these crimes that you're reporting on here have anything to do with mental illness?
I don't know offhand, and I wouldn't want to hazard a guess there, but mental health is an issue in every community in America.
No doubt, yeah. Yeah. I wonder if there would be a way for us to track that. I wonder if it would be helpful to track that. I don't know. But
I could check and see if our system could track that. I'd have to check.
Yeah. Talking off the top of my head, you know. But
we can check on it.
I have a question here.
Please, go ahead.
Chief, just noticing the kidnappings. Is that more the ones related to, like, custodial disputes and not a kid actually being snatched off the street?
Yes, all of them are domestic related or custodial related. Yes.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
And just a reminder that there's only one council meeting in July. That'll be the July 15th meeting. No meeting on the 1st because of the holidays that week, so that you have time to be with your families.
I'll most likely be joining the July meeting remotely.
Okay. That's all I have tonight. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to go back to our item D that was moved to the end of the meeting. We have the minutes. Item D1, the May 6, 2025 City Council Study Meeting Draft Minutes. And D2 is the May 6, 2025 Combined City Council and Redevelopment Agency Meeting Draft Minutes. Those have been sent out for review. Are there any amendments to be made to those or a motion to approve the draft minutes?
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve D.1 and D.2.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion by Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. With a second by Mr. Shelton. Any discussion to that? Okay, all in favor of approving these draft minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Those are approved, and I'm going to leave it up to you if you want to do council reports or not.
No.
I'll just say Summerfest was great. Yeah. You know, yeah. So, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Agreed. Thank you.
Although I would request that they go back to the old breakfast.
Or
agreed. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Or at least something like that
yeah.
available.
Yeah.
Or at least that those food trucks that were supposed to be there would show up.
Oh.
There's an issue with vendors.
Yeah.
Along with Summerfest, I want to say thank you to all of our staff and our emergency planners and personnel. It's not lost on us that when you get that many people in one area, things can happen, as we know happened recently in another city just this weekend. And thank you. No plans can be perfectly executed because we can't control everything that anybody else does. But thank you for all of the work that has gone into keeping our events safe and for the excellent plans in place to help make sure that happens. So thank you. Appreciate
Mayor,
that.
I would like to thank everyone for any way that they participated in Country Fest in making our community so much stronger and welcoming for everyone. It was a great event. Thank you.
Okay, that sounds like that's our reports, and that's perfect. So with that, I will ask if there is a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
In a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.